You're listening to Linux News Log, separating the Linux and open source signal from the noise.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/quicksurf. Over 85,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Hey everybody, how's it going? I'm your host, Adrian, coming to you almost live from lovely Phoenix, Arizona, here in Studio MC1 at QuickSurf Internet Media. Linux News Log is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Do feel free to head on over to techpodcast.com and check out all the other technology-related shows over there. I'd like to encourage everybody to visit us online over at linux.quicksurf.com and subscribe to the show if you have not already done so. If you're a new subscriber, welcome to the show. Go ahead and check out the archives and all the old episodes that I've done. We've got quite a few of them out there. And with that, let's go ahead and get into the news for this episode. Starting off at PC World, there's a series that Tony Bradley has been writing called 30 Days with Linux, or 30 Days with Ubuntu Linux. And he's reached his 30-day mark, and he's written a blog post, Ubuntu Linux, Day 30, What I Learned from 30 Days with Ubuntu Linux. And basically, he provides a pretty nice rundown. I'm not going to go into everything. If you really want to know what he, and this is a Windows guy, right? So I've been following what he's been writing for each of his blog posts. And some of the stuff is like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. And, you know, all in all, you know, I thought it was a pretty balanced view of, you know, using Ubuntu Linux from somebody who's not a primarily a Linux user. And so check it out. You can also check out the whole 30-day series that he's got there. He's got links up to all of that. So go ahead and check that out. From Boston.com, executive offers a peek under the red hat. Making money from open source software, computer programs available free of charge once seemed crazy, but Red Hat Inc. has prospered by selling service and support for open source programs such as the Linux operating system. Although headquartered in Raleigh, North Carolina, most Red Hat software is engineered in Westford. Paul Cormier, a Red Hat's president of products and technology, spoke with Hiawatha Bray of the Globe staff about how his company brought open source into the mainstream. And so this is really an interview about, you know, what goes on, you know, pretty interesting read. Check it out. You know, as an aside, personally, Red Hat was one of the first, if I remember correctly, the first open source company to sell not open source software, but to sell service for it. And that's how they make their money, is when you get Red Hat, you don't pay for the software, you pay for the license, the service license. So if you have questions or what have you, you can actually get in there and you know, get support for it, which is, you know, back in the day, that was a novel concept. Nowadays, it's like mainstream. That's how you make your money in open source. You don't make your money on the software, you make your money on the service. Anyway, check this story out. From PC World and their business center, the Hewlett-Packard touchpad's best feature is Linux. It's a strong testament to the power of Linux that HP has chosen WebOS as the platform for many upcoming phones, tablets, printers, and PCs. WebOS is, of course, based on Linux, and its official launch on HP's new touchpad this week marks its official debut in the tablet space. Pretty awesome. Reviews of the touchpad so far haven't been entirely favorable. It's true. So check it out. There's a variety of things. This is a pretty interesting read. They've got a video partway through, basically, you know, a nice rundown. Also from PC World, Android and Red Hat prove Linux's merit on phones and servers. Debate over Linux's viability on the desktop may rage unabated in light of the recent changes made to Canonical's Ubuntu in particular, but there's no questioning the operating system's strength in the server and mobile arenas. Two cases in point have emerged in the past week. In fact, first, following a stellar quarter ending February 28th, Red Hat has announced even better news this time around. $3 billion in 5 years, which is kind of awesome. Android is also getting 500,000 activations per day, which we all know Android is based on Linux as well, so pretty neat. From LinuxDevices.com, Linux-based networked DVR can record from 64 cameras. I thought this was pretty awesome. Indigo Vision announced a doubling of capacity to 2 terabyte disks in its NVR AS3000 of Linux-based surveillance-oriented network video recorders, otherwise known as NVRs. The NVR AS3000 systems are now available with up to 6 terabytes of usable RAID 5 storage as well as RAID 01 options, and can record full frame rate video and audio from 64 cameras and play back 20 streams simultaneously. Wow. That is some serious power. That's pretty awesome. Check it out if you need a networked video recorder. From Xconomy.com in their San Diego section, Beyond Trust Buy Security Technology from Likewise Software, Carlsbad, California-based Beyond Trust, said today it has acquired software from Likewise Software of Bellevue, Washington, that helps businesses bridge Linux, Unix, and Mac environments to Microsoft Active Directory. Financial terms of the deal for Likewise Open and Likewise Enterprise were not disclosed. So pretty interesting. Now, Likewise provides a platform for identity, security, and data storage. It's using the proceeds to accelerate its investment in its storage software business. So pretty nice. From ZDNet in the Linux and Open Source blog by Stephen J. Von Nichols and Paula Rooney, Why the Linux Netbook Crashed and Burned is the title of this latest post. Pretty interesting read. He starts off, a friend of mine, Tom Henderson, asked recently, who killed the netbook? His well-thought-out answer blames a combination of smartphones, expensive but lightweight computers like the MacBook Air, and the rise of tablets. I think all of those played a role, but I put more of the blame on Microsoft and Intel. And this post was posted by Stephen J. Von Nichols. So pretty interesting. It's a good read. Check it out. As always, everything is linked up in the show notes. From Infotech in... Infotech Spotlight, TypeMock introduces easy unit testing framework for Linux. This is pretty neat. To make testing easy and upstream the quality processes for software developers from a wide range of sectors such as defense, medical, and finance, TypeMock, a provider and pioneer of easy unit testing solutions, launched Isolator++ for Linux. Isolator++ for Linux has been developed to make testing easy for C++ on the Linux distributions Ubuntu, Fedora, and SUSE. According to a press release, this release depicts TypeMock's ability to offer unit testing tools and mocking frameworks for multiple platforms and enable organizations that work on Windows and Linux to benefit from one solution for both platforms. So pretty awesome stuff. That will do it for this edition of Linux News Log. As always, everything is linked up in the show notes, which you could find online at linux.quicksurf.com. Do feel free to head on over there and check us out and subscribe to the show if you have not already done so. You can shoot me an email, linux@quicksurf.com, or you can follow me online over at twitter.com/Adrian_Bacon. I also have a variety of other ways to follow me online linked up in the show notes as well. And with that, I will see all of you next week. See you then. Bye.